Father, thank you. Thank you from the very bottoms of our heart. And I just thank you, Father God, that you have such delight in us. I thank you, God, that you give us power and authority just to flow in the Spirit and just be who you made us to be. People full of joy. And the joy of the Lord has been our strength and will continue to be our strength. And Father God, we truly are living in the overflow. And we thank you, Father God, we don't know what hour, we don't know what day, but you're just going to drop all of heaven upon this church, and this church is going to be on fire for you. And Father, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to welcome each and every one of you out here tonight. You know, God told me he's going to fill this church full. Then overnight, he's going to put us into a brand new building. So I'm so glad y'all keep it coming. Amen. You're filling us up. Bring your babies. Don't bring your dogs and your cats, but bring your friends in, because I keep looking. I say, okay, God, it's getting fuller and fuller. So I just know the building's there. Tonight, I'm going to talk about working with angels. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 3 tells us of the power of one angel. And it said, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Now, I'm so excited we're going to have 1,000 years of freedom. I'm not too excited about the fact he's going to come back again and do his dirty work. But we're going to really enjoy the 1,000 years, are we not? We're not going to walk around like we're dead and, you know, and every second is our last breath, but we're going to be happy and we're going to be vibrant and we're going to bring others to Christ. Amen. All right, I just read this, a testimony of an evangelist. She says, while ministering at the Greater Chicago Church in the Oak Park area, a whole new world opened to me. Pastors Ian and Rachel Carroll had asked me to do a seminar on prayer. Now listen carefully to this. As I shared about God's desire to pour out his Spirit on Chicago, the room's atmosphere changed. That's what she spoke about. Changed the atmosphere. When you're yelling fire in the hole, you're changing the atmosphere. When you marched around the room, you were changing the atmosphere, giving God permission to do whatever he wants to do. She said a band of angels came in, and their presence stopped everything else from happening. They were all shapes and sizes, very eager and lively. I waited for them to settle down, but they never did. In Revelation 5:11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. Because the angels are around the throne of God, angels carry the glory of God, and the glory began to fall in the room. All right, let's stop there. God has been calling us up into the third heaven. Why? So we can be in the glory of God, and we can carry the glory of God. And when you carry the glory of God, signs, wonders, and miracles will be wherever you're at. The glory caused an eruption of uncontrolled laughter by the attendees and myself. So, all right, whenever you guys get to this uncontrollable laughter, that means there's an angel in the room, and, you know, he just gets you to start laughing, and you really cannot stop. She says, I call this kind of laughter inexpressible and glorious joy, and that's in 1 Peter 1:8. After the service ended, I asked Ian about this activity, and he said it was a regular occurrence with guest speakers. He explained to me these angels are on assignment for Chicago. He further clarified that the angels would show up at these meetings, activating around certain phrases related to their mission. See that? What we say activates the angels. What stirred them, he said, would be phrases such as revival or outpouring or Chicago. The following morning, I woke up and angels were all around me. No, just not one in her bedroom, but they were all around her. They were just as excited as the night before, but I discerned we were not on the same page. Now listen to this. I knew from the Lord I was there to put the sustaining word into this church. Greater Chicago Church needed my story and principles to aid them through future obstacles. I asked for the angels' help to accomplish what the Lord wanted to do there. Their presence was definitely there as I spoke that day and the next, and we were now in sync. So more or less she said, please don't carry on. Let me get this message out there to the people. They would get active during the right times, even provide miraculous signs, but allowed me to retain the lead. See that? For example, as I prayed for the group to receive an anointing to see into the spirit realm in 2 Kings 6:17, one woman received even more than that. She was healed instantly of nearsightedness and no longer needed her glasses. This miracle raised the faith level of the room to receive the anointing for spiritual insight. Some might not understand us working with and even giving some requests or direction to angels and might call that quenching the spirit, but it's really connected to our priestly and kingly roles on earth, and that's Revelation 5:10. When you use the angels, you in no wise quench the spirit. All right, always remember that. Now Hebrews 1:13 and 14 says, but to watch of the angels has he ever, I'm sorry, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So angels are not on their own charge. They are assigned to serve humans and not the other way around. And God has told us that there's angels around about us, and we need to speak to them and ask them to come and help us in whatever situation we are in. And I still don't believe that the church understands the fullness of the angels and what they can do for us. All right, when you're standing in the pulpit and I say, just raise your hands, it's the Holy Spirit, an angel come by and touches you and you fall down. That's how you go down. When I used to touch the people, they say, you pushed me. I think sometimes they're so stiff-necked that the angel smacks them real good in the forehead, knocks them down. So if you can just understand when you're standing at the altar, you're under the anointing, you're in the spirit realm, and the angels are in the altar area working, and the angels, we can have more than one angel, and I know we do in here, and they can be working in those who are sitting in their seats, all right? In Psalms 115:16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. That's you and I. Angels remain mighty and powerful by nature, but we are still earth's leaders. Angels are not off limits to us, and we can work with them within biblical boundaries. You can't ask them to go out and kill somebody. You know, you have to, everything you do has to be biblical. All right, you can ask the, all right, point one, you can ask the Father to send his angels. Judas had just betrayed Jesus in the garden, all right? And Matthew 26:52 says, as the officers came to arrest Jesus, Peter drew his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. Jesus healed the man's ear and then rebuked Peter. And he said in Matthew 26:53, do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How many of you are really asking God to send an angel to help you in whatever given situation you need help in? I do that all the time, and every time I do it, I get the help that I have called for. So if you're not using your angels, but God told me one time that the body of Christ is not using all the weapons of warfare that he has in his word, and one of those weapons is his angelic host that we need to be calling on. Many times God has woke me up in the middle of the night when my kids are out on the road, and he'll say, pray for this one or pray for that one. Put the angel hedge of protection around about them. And I do, and when I get home, I find out they were in a lot of danger. All right. And Alyssa, did you want to take the baby back in the room, honey, or no? You don't have to. Or is Holly there if one of you went to? Okay, this baby that's here, you want her to go? Can she go back there? She, he, whatever. No, they've got something back there, Catherine's saying. Yeah, that way the mother can listen. The mother has to listen. And we not only listen, but we hear, and then we do, right? I've done lost my place and all that. All right. So we're going to read that passage again in Matthew 26:53. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he would once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? This is one of those passages that is not direct instruction, but provides insight into things we can ask our Heavenly Father. Jesus could ask for armies of angels to assist him if needed. If Jesus could ask for angels, then we can too. Because what does God's word say? That we're going to do the greater works than Jesus did. And Jesus would call on the angels all the time. And in this hour that we're living in, it's very, very dark. And we're going to need to call on the angels to assist us. I was just reading where Russia, before 2024 is out, where Russia's going to start the war. And God told me it was going to be brought on the American soil. And if that's, and that is the case, then we're going to have to know how to call upon the angels to protect us. All right. John 14:12 says, most assuredly I say to you, excuse me, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Why don't you believe the word? We can do the greater things than what Jesus did. We sit around and we allow the enemy to control our lives when really and truly God wants the angels to control our lives. There's a situation that has arisen, and God said to me, he said, you have Aaron, in which he just told me this today. You have Aaron take this. I asked for angels, but he said, you have Aaron take this to the courtroom of heaven, and that's where I'm going to settle it. So, you know, you have to hear God's voice so that you don't pray wrong. All right. And since I've been really, God's really been directing me in the direction of angels right now, I immediately wanted an angel to go and take care of the situation. But God said, no, this one has to be brought to the courtroom. And see, this is why you don't get good results, is because you don't know how to hear God's voice, and then you pray wrong. All right. Well, the Bible says you pray amiss. All right, we can ask the Father to send the angels on assignment for things we know they already do, like to protect, to fight, to guide, to provide, and so on. You know, with all the tornadoes and everything are coming around, I hope each one of you have already stationed the angels around about your property and told them, you make sure you don't let nothing touch my property. Amen, because they're supposed to do what you ask them to do. I don't care where you're living. You could be living in the basement, and you could still need protection because the house could fall on top of you. All right? All right, regardless, Jesus did not ask for the angels that day. Why? Because it was not the will of his Father to be saved from the cross. This is what I wanted to get at back there. Everything is not God's will that you want done. And so we constantly have to, every time I pray anymore, I say, Father God, your will be, I pray the prayer, then I say at the very end, your will be done in this situation, because I really don't know what your will is. You tell us to pray, so I prayed, I put it out there before you, and now whatever your will is, you do. We have to open his arms so he can do what really needs to be done. We do our part by praying, but we don't demand God to do anything. All right, well, this is just a good example. My granddaughter was out on probation, and she went over into Maryland, and we go with her all the time to the dentist, thinking nothing of it. She never told her probation officer. So she went to her probation meeting. They put her in prison again because she didn't tell them she was going over into Maryland. And I was at peace all day, and whenever she went to the probation, but all of a sudden, I think it was 2 or something like that, I started feeling really bad in my spirit, and I knew it was her, so I immediately started to pray. I said, God, please don't let them, violate her today. And God very lovingly and very gently said, I have to let them do this. to save her. And she got violated. So, you know, I said, please don't do it. But he said, this is something I have to do. And I think that we all need to be closer to God. And we all need to know how to pray to talk to our Father. You don't talk to your Father like you talk to the world. The world doesn't know how to talk. But you talk very lovingly to your Father and very caringly. And then you let him do what he needs to do. I didn't like what he said, but, you know, he knows what's best. And I told her that last night when I talked to her on the phone. And she was crying, and she said, I've been praying too, Mom. And she said, that's what he told me too. This is for my own good right now. So let's not fight God. Let's just let God be God, and we be we. And, you know, just let's walk with the heavenly angels and with God, and then let God do what he knows he needs to do. I'm just hearing God say some of you people need things clarified in your life, and you never get them clarified because you never sit in his presence to listen to his still small voice. You're always expecting somebody else to come to your rescue. And God said it has come to a time when other people can't come to your rescue. You have to go to your own rescue. You have to set it to Father's feet. And he's saying, you have to speak to me. The time is coming where I'm cutting out the middleman. And it's you and I. And he told us a while back, he's told me, he said, daughter, it's just you and I now. He said, you can't rely on anybody else. It's just you and I. And God takes you to those places in your walk with him where it's just you and him. Why? So that you trust him fully, totally, and completely. And don't start relying on man or woman, you know, to hear God's voice for you. All right? So if you feel like you're all alone and nobody's caring, God has you in that place. And he's trying to force you, really, to do what you're supposed to do, and that's to sit in his presence and seek his face instead of seeking everybody else's face. All right, the second point is angels will carry out their assignments, but the details can be negotiated. During his residency in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot had received two angels into his home, and that's in Genesis 19. The angels had come on assignment from God to rescue Lot and his family before he destroyed the city for his abominable wickedness. In Genesis 19:17, said the angels gave Lot specific instructions. He said, flee for your lives, don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. However, Lot had a different idea in Genesis 19:19-20. He said, Lot said, I can't flee to the mountains. He said, look, here is a town near. He said it was too far. He wouldn't get there before God started destroying. He said, look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. Lot understood that staying in Sodom and Gomorrah was not an option. He did perceive that his destination was negotiable, and the angels accepted Lot's change of plans. So, you know, the angels have permission to do that. All right, 2 Samuel 24:15 through 17. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel from the morning till the appointed time, from Dan to Beersheba. 70,000 men of the people died. An angel went there and killed 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the destruction. Who stretched out their hand? Not God. The angel that was on assignment. The Lord relented from the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, it is enough. Now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor in Jebusite. God does relent of the evil he's doing to you. I mean, you've denied Christ and denied Christ and did your stupid stuff, and God's making you pay for that, but it comes to a place sometimes that God does relent and say, you know, I'm going to lift my heavy hand off of them, and let's just see, and take the I am hearing him say, take the pressure away, and then he's going to watch and see what you do. See if you learned your lesson or if he has to come back again. I wouldn't want him to come back again. The first time around's enough. All right, verse 17. Then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, "Surely I have sinned and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house." And so God lifted his hand of mercy. And I'm being honest here, as a pastor, I'm just like you, I'm human. And there's sometimes in the past where I've gotten angry, gotten upset at home, and then come in here and felt so terrible because I wasn't walking the love walk. And I would say, "God, don't let, please come and minister to these people. Don't make them pay for my sin of anger before I came here." And every time he honors that, and he just moves mightily among the people. Are you understanding this? Some of you, you do that all the time, and God's tired of hearing you say that kind of stuff. You just have to get it together. All right, point number three. You have authority to loose the angels. Jesus gave us the keys of the kingdom of heaven, keys meaning authority. And he said in Matthew 16:19, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." We have the keys to stop the enemy, but we don't use those keys. It's another weapon. Many of us understand this to mean we are to bind the devil and his demons. To bind something means to tie it up, and we accomplish that by making a specific command with our words. And you can see that in Mark 11:23-24. At the same time, Jesus also gave us the power to loose something. What then do we have the power to loose? We have the power to loose angels. We loose the angels the same way we bind demons, by using our words. We are charged with making known the will of God in the presence of the angels. You see that Ephesians 3:10. Let's stop there. How many of you, before you close your eyes at night, you call the angels into your room, into your children's room, and tell them, "Angels, I want you to watch guard over Gabriel while he sleeps. I'll just use him. And I don't want you to allow any demonic activity around him as he sleeps. He is defenseless while he's sleeping." And if I forget to do that, they have a problem at night. But if I pray every night over them and command that angel to come. I always command the angel that was assigned to them when they were born. And I said, you were assigned to protect these boys, and I want you to do that tonight as they sleep. Or if they go out to play, you know, or if they go with somebody else, I always put their angels at work around about them to keep them safe. How many of you do that? Some of you don't. I know you don't. But I think you need to start doing this, because with the stealing of our children on the streets, your children need to be protected. They need to have an angel with them so that they can't be abducted on the streets or in the stores or wherever. Amen. All right, angels also listen for and obey the word of the Lord in Psalm 103:20. "Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word. Heeding the voice of his word." The word of the Lord comes from Jesus himself in heaven or through his church on earth in the form of a prophetic word. Our prophetic words are heard and observed by angels and will put them on assignment. How many of you have been in your car driving down the road and all of a sudden you see a car going to run into you? But it doesn't run into you, it runs through you. And you end up on the other side. That's happened to me 3 times now. When I get in my car, the first thing I do is I pray the angels to come and protect me as I'm in that car. The last time it happened right out there in the road when I was going home from church one night, and I was going around a bend, and the person coming the other way was on my side of the road, and I literally saw his car hit half my driver's side, where my legs and everything are at, and keep on going. And I went on, and he threw on his brakes, but the angel protected me, and I wasn't hurt. And there was no accident, but the angel protected me there. But the other guy did. He threw on his brakes and stopped because he knew he hit me. I'm telling you, you guys are not using God's tools the way you should be. You'd be surprised, even in your own home, when your kids act up and carry on, if you would just bring the angels in there to stop whatever they're doing, the angels will do what you ask them to do. All right, we see this in the life of King David. He makes a command not only to all of creation, but also to the angels to praise the Lord. Psalm 148, 1 and 2. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. If his angels are praying him, why do you not pray him? Praise him, all his host. Jacob wrestled with the angel all night and refused to let the angel go. In Genesis 32, 26, Jacob made this command, I will not let you go until you bless me. And what happened with Jacob? He wrestled with the angel, and then he had a bad hip, but the angel blessed him, right? All right, this is this lady's testimony here. During my first pregnancy, I became very ill in the middle of the night and couldn't hold anything down. An angel appeared, and I said, lay your hand on my stomach, and I will be healed. The angel did exactly that, and I was instantly well. Just like there were demons that afflict us, just like there are demons that afflict us with sickness, you can see that in Luke 13, 10 through 17, there will also be angels that act as healing agents to us. At the end of the day, all healing comes from God, and we are to credit him for it. But he works through his angels. You all know when I had COVID, I saw myself standing behind my daughter, and she was holding me in her arms, and she said, devil, you're not going to have my mother. I died. But she didn't know that, but she just knew I was getting ready to. And I saw myself standing, you know, fully dressed in regular clothes. And she said, devil, you're not going to have my mother. She will live and not die. And just like that, I was back in my body. And she was just praising God over it. And this, I've died three times since I've had this stuff. But each time, the other two times, I myself said, when I saw myself standing outside my body, God said, you can't kill me. And the angels are round about me, keeping me whole. And I'd go back into my body. You have to start working yourself. You have to start doing what the Bible tells you to do. And the angels are there constantly trying to work for you, but you don't ask them to do anything, and therefore you tie their hands. All right, the fourth point is that angels will not depart from the Word of God. When working with angels, understand that they strictly uphold the Word of God. To not do so would be rebellion with severe punishment. And you can see that in Jude, well, we're going to read that in Jude 1:6. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. For example, Gabriel appeared to Zechariah the priest with a message from God. He told him he would have a son and to name him John. Zechariah did not believe the angel, and when he voiced his unbelief, Gabriel issued a temporary penalty. Zechariah could not physically speak until the birth of his son John, just as the angel foretold. And that's in Luke chapter 1. Years ago, the Lord spoke to me and told me Jimmy, my grandson, was going to have a baby, and it was going to be a boy, and he told him what he should name him, and I told Jimmy that, and he laughed. He said, that's never going to happen, but he has Isaiah. And he named him exactly what God told him to name him. And God has his hand upon Isaiah. Are you listening? He listened to what God said. Jesus exhorts us and solemnly warns us in regards to the angels in Luke 12:8. Jesus said, I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. The angels know who belong to God, and they know who does not belong to God. And we all know that not everybody is going to make heaven their home. Not everybody belongs to God, even right now. And you can see it getting worse and worse. More people are leaning towards the devil than they are towards God. They're leaving the house of God and going into the house of darkness and serving the devil instead of God. He's saying that if we deny him in the scripture, if we deny his word, which is the same as denying him, the angels will not work with us. Instead, we need to be like Mary. When Gabriel appeared to her to announce she would become pregnant and give birth to the Son of God, she responded well. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. I'm your servant, God, whatever you want to do." Luke 1:38, she says, "May your word to me be fulfilled." If I'm going to have a baby as a virgin, let it be. And she went through a lot of hurt, criticism of her and the father. They just didn't believe that she was not laying around. I get tickled because when I was going to college, I was going doing psychology, and I had to go, talk to people. And you talk to girls who are being pregnant, and they said, "I didn't lay around, I'm a virgin." Get out of here. God. There's only one virgin, that was Mary, right? So don't be putting your junk on the Bible. It doesn't work that way. They really believed that, too. When Gabriel appeared to her to announce she would become pregnant and give birth to the Son of God, she responded, "Well, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled." Are you all saying that to God tonight? Are you saying, "I'm your servant, and may your word be fulfilled in my life, no matter what I have to go through while you're fulfilling that word? I want your word fulfilled in my life, Father." And some of you just need to repent for stepping away from God. And you just need to come back into the inner circle of God and then allow him to bless you. You're not going to be blessed standing out here doing your junk. You can sit in the house of God till you die in your chair, and you're not going to go to heaven. You have to be totally and completely sold out to God to make heaven your home. All right, working with angels within biblical perimeters is not the same as worshiping angels or praying to angels. They are here to help. A lot of people worship angels, and you cannot do that. We can now be more intentional with angels. After you've heard this tonight, you should be able now to really call on the angels and summon them properly to help you. All right, so if you have a child, that's out there by herself, you don't have to sit and worry about her day and night. Send the angels being camped around about her. Not one. I'm greedy. I want the whole group. Camp the angels around about them and keep them safe. Let no harm come to them. Because most of our kids that are out there being messed up haven't been taught right, or the devil already had them before you was able to teach them properly, and then the devil's working out his evil scheme, and you have to keep them covered until God can get a hold of them 100%. And if I was I am a parent, I'm raising two boys, I keep raising kids, but anyhow, if I was a parent, I would be constantly praying the angels around about my children, my grandchildren, whoever, any children you're in contact with, because right now the enemy's after the children. And I don't care if they're your children or not, your job is to send the angels forth to keep these children safe. And I'm sorry that you didn't have anybody to pray for you when you was little to keep you safe. I had a praying grandmother who took me to church when I was 2 months old and kept me there until she died. And she prayed for me constantly. And so I know that she kept me safe. And I can't help that your parents didn't know, didn't understand, weren't guided in the right direction, and they never kept you covered. So the enemy had his way with you. He just had his way with you. And you can't blame your parents either, because a lot of parents still don't know about God. They still don't know how to pray. They still don't know how to walk. But why don't you get your act together with God, and then you can pray for them and get them changed. Then they'll come and they'll repent to you, God first, then you, and then you'll be a happy family. It's never too late to be a family. Never. God is connecting families right now. And parents have done really some dumb things. You read all the time about mothers killing their children and, fathers killing the children and the wife. And I think, why is this? We know why it's going on, but I still say, why is this so evil? And I know it's because we're at the end of days, but I still, you know, the evil's terrible, isn't it? And you know, and I watch these young kids kill each other, and I say, God, please send the angels out on the street and protect these kids, and you know, let the angels touch them. I've read many testimonies where people have been sitting, you know, well, Jesse Duplantis was out of his mind and drugs, sitting in the bathroom, and an angel came in there and touched him, and he was instantly free. And he even didn't want to go out and finish his concert, but he had to because the people paid for it. So he said he went out there, and he said he felt terrible doing that concert, and because he was just totally touched by God, totally changed, and he didn't want anything evil in his life. So instead of us cursing our children, what we should be doing is asking God to send the angel to them to cause them to see the error of their ways. A lot of them know the error of their ways. They just don't know how to get free. Even though they, you know, my kids all been raised in church. They've seen everything and they worked and did everything, but they backslid. And God said the prodigals are coming home. I'm believing for that. But I also send the angels to minister to them to bring them back home. I'm just not going to say, well, God said it's going to be done. Yes, it's going to be done, but we have our job to do too. So how many of you are going to start sending angels on assignment? You know, when I was first born again and I was evangelizing, we'd go home every weekend to Pennsylvania, 5-hour trip one way, and I'd wake up at 3:00 in the morning, come back so I could be behind the pulpit, and I would instantly pray that the warring angel would be wrapped around our car and then go before us to remove all obstacles that the enemy would have out there to try to, you know, do us harm. And we never once had an accident. We never had anything. And we did that for years. And we did that because I was taking care of my mother back there. But it does work. Angels do work. They are on assignment. And we're going to start seeing them. This lady, when she was at this church, saw more than one, even in her hotel room. So why aren't we seeing angels? I'm not seeing them either, but, you know, that's a question we need to ask. Why am I not seeing angels when I know that God wants us to begin to see angels? Astrid has many visions of angels all the time. But why are we all not? Why aren't we, every one of us in this room, having those same encounters with angels? And I'm just hearing God say, you are having encounters with angels. You just don't know it. So I don't know, you know, I know that if you feed somebody that's hungry, that could be an angel, you know. You know, if you take somebody in off street, that could be an angel. But, you know, we are, evidently from what God just said, we are in contact with these angels all the time, but they just have not become a reality, you know, visual, standing in front of you, talking to you. But I'm believing that we are in the days where the old prophets, where the angels would come in their bedrooms and tap them on the foot and say, hey, get awake. And they'd be sitting there in their chairs and on the beds and saying, God sent me here to give you a message. I know that we're in that era right now. And I just think that God wants me to bring this about angels for, so you can, you know, the one guy was always praying for angels, and an angel appeared to him in his truck, and he about wrecked his truck. It scared him. But that angel came to him, and he had something folded in his arms, and the truck driver said to him, what you got there in your arms? And he says, your mantle. God took your mantle from you, and I'm going to give it to another. So God took his mantle. He didn't say what he did to lose his mantle. But then he had another minister. He went to and still stayed preaching, and he preached to everybody about don't lose your mantle. And he taught what would cause you to lose your mantle. But an angel come with his mantle. Amen. Are you all ready, really? Do you really believe God's word? Do you really have faith enough to believe that the angels of God are all around about you all the time? How many of you have been lately, you see something out of the corner of your eye and look, there's nothing there? And I've had many encounters just in the last 2 months in my home, and I'm thinking, gee whiz, they must be everywhere. And because I'll be sitting here, I can see it out of the corner of my eye, and I look, and there's nothing there. But I actually see them moving. God is on the move right now, and he's bringing angel activity like he never brought it before. And he's bringing it in reality, where we're actually going to see these angelic beings. This war that's going to happen, how do you think it's going to be won? God's going to have to send his angels, or the whole earth will be destroyed. They're going to have to fight our battles for us. When a tornado is coming towards your house, do you pray the angels to stop the tornado from touching you? Remember Jesse Duplantis, I think it was a tornado, went where he was at, and he stood out in his porch. He said, "You can't touch us. This is the property of God." And he just stood there. He said he had these big white columns in front of his house. He said he stood and watched every house around him be destroyed, but it never touched his. And he commanded the angels to be encamped around about his house and not to let that tornado touch his house. If you just read Christian stuff instead of junk, you know, the evil stuff that you do, you would really be encouraged in the Lord. This is the kind of stuff that encourages me and keeps me going on, because it's real. People have really lived it, and they wrote it in books, or they give it in a testimony. What's your testimony? I get up and I go to bed. The only thing that happens to me is evil. I don't have a good report. Really, isn't that what goes on? What'd you do today? I got up this morning, went back to bed tonight. What happened? Dumb stuff. God never gets the glory because you don't know the Father and you don't know his angels. And get in the Bible and read, there's angels all through the Word of God. The altar is open tonight if you really, truly want God to open up your spiritual eyes so you can see into the spirit realm and see the angels for yourself. As I read the word over and over again, everything that happened, powerful thing that happened, was always led by the angels.